Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When these people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, I'm going to try to scoot over and talk to this guy. Yeah, only on university campuses. Dude's wearing flip-flops and a ski hat. He's hot, he's cold. I'm not exactly sure, but I want to talk to him. You're listening to Wretched Radio on Witness Wednesday. Hey, dude. While you're walking, could I talk to you for a moment on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. I just walking. I'll follow along. Okay. All right. What are you listening to on your headset?
Right now, Newfound Glory.
What's that?
It's a band, a punk band, I'd say.
Newfound Glory. What mm-hmm. is that? What does that mean?
It's a band name.
What does it mean?
Newfound.
It's got the name Glory. Is it religious?
No, not religious. I'd say it's just. I really don't know.
All right. Here's why I wanted to talk to you. You're flip-flopping, and you got a ski hat on.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
The hat's comfortable. And I like to have the air on my feet.
But not on your head?
No.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. We all have personal preferences.
It's also fashionable.
Ah, for the chicks.
Of course.
There you go. Because that's a big part of going to school, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Overall, do you think this is a pretty moral campus?
I'd say so.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Compared to...
There's a lot of places you can go religious-wise if you'd like to. They keep everything pretty decent. You don't see, inappropriate posters
all over
the place.
I've been surprised at that.
I think it's a pretty moral, pretty good campus.
Yeah. What about you? How are you morally?
I'm not too religious. I don't go to church, but I believe I have a moral standing. I just... Not tied to one religion at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because I always ask myself what I feel is morally right, and I do that.
Is it possible that there's a moral standard outside of yourself?
You mean like pre-written morals that we should follow, like a religion?
Well, that or wherever you get it. I'm just thinking about the criminal who would stand in front of the judge maybe and say what you just said. And that is, Judge, every day I ask myself, am I living right? Ultimately, it's not going to matter. If the judge thinks you're guilty no matter what you think.
Right. Well, I mean, there are laws that you have to obey. And
what about moral laws, though?
Moral laws?
Nobody's looking. Stuff you can get away with. Stuff where there aren't written laws about it. Do you think that there's a different set of morals in the universe?
I believe that you're going to have to... I believe in karma. So I believe if you do something wrong, morally wrong, even if no one catches you, eventually you're going to have to pay for it.
Okay, who's... I'm always curious, going this way. When it comes to karma, who is the cosmic accountant that's making sure that people get punished?
It's not necessarily that there's some higher being, in my belief.
This way?
Like I said, I'm not really with a religion. It's mostly that almost probability. It's just a power. It's not really a being. It's just the forces of nature, kind of.
No, that sounds like God to me.
In a sense, it is. It's just I'm not exactly atheist. I just don't know which God I'd like to call it yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Is a perhaps a more specific question, not what do I want to call God, but who is God?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And you don't know?
I'd say so.
Did you grow up in a religious home?
Yes. Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And who did they say God is?
A divine being that created the earth and all the things in it and... Controls all the things in it.
Uh-huh. And you don't think that's right?
I think it's right. I just didn't stick with that religion because there were some things that I was unsure about. And there were some things in other religions that I...
Thought were interested.
That I liked. Yeah.
What were you unsure about when it comes to being a Southern Baptist?
The creation. Me, obviously, I go to tech. I like science. I kind of feel more towards the scientific creation and evolution.
Yeah.
But can't really think of too many examples off the top of my head. Huh. Mostly it was just I saw other things in other religions that I appreciated.
Like reincarnation, karma?
Karma. Not necessarily reincarnation, but karma and just...
Well, Christianity has karma in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That God will make sure that anything that's done that's wrong will get punished. So that aspect is in Christianity, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't feel it. Like, when I talk to Christians and I go to church and things like that, I didn't feel that they believed in karma as I did. I didn't feel like their points of view of the topic were agreed entirely with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a point where I'm just looking around. Probably I will end up going back to Southern Baptist just because that's my roots, and if anything, it's probably what I feel strongest with.
Okay, tell me.
I'm just looking around right now.
This is, believe it or not, you and I have a lot in common. You don't know this, but we do. I was a lot like you many years ago because I didn't understand something. So I'd like to ask you, tell me, what is the gospel?
The gospel? The books written by...
No, what is the gospel? The good news. The Christian gospel.
Don't believe I know.
Okay. That might be a big... What's your first name?
Casey.
Okay, Casey. It's all right. Okay, Casey, this might be helpful. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to test that. All right? How many lies have you told in your life?
A few.
Okay. So if you tell a few lies, what does that make you? If I told a few lies, you might... call me a
liar.
Okay, how many things have you stolen in your life?
Never.
Okay, how many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I might have a few.
Blasphemy. Okay. How many times, we talked about girls before, how many times have you looked at a woman on campus with lust, with sexual desire?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, and we'll leave it there. We won't get into fornication. Okay. We won't get into pornography. We'll just leave it with looking with lust.
Okay.
The Bible says you're going to die, and you're going to give an account. The books will be open, so there you stand, naked before God. No attorneys, no parents, nothing. You and God. He knows every thought, every deed done in darkness, everything you should have done but didn't, all the times you had a meal and you didn't thank Him.
Mm-hmm.
Would He find you innocent or guilty, Casey?
Well, again, that comes back to, that's the Christian God that you're speaking of. The things that you've named off that you feel are wrong does not agree with what I feel is wrong.
But again, this comes back to, it doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think? So if the Bible is true, okay, grant me that premise. If the Bible is true, if the God of the Bible is the only God, no other options, He's it. He's the creator. He's your maker. Those are His laws. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I would consider myself innocent because my beliefs are different than yours. I don't believe...
I believe there could
be more than one God. I believe there could be a Christian God. There could be, you know, Buddha. There could be multiple gods. We each may see our own God when we come to heaven.
Setting that aside for a moment, my premise is this. If there is only one God,
okay,
and you stand before Him, and He knows everything you've done, innocent or guilty...
I may be guilty of a few things. That's for Him to decide.
Right.
But I do things as I feel best. Day to day, I do what I feel is right. And I don't regret a single thing I've done. If I stand in front of Him, if I have done wrong in choosing who I wish to believe, and I stand in front of your God, and He deems me guilty and sends me to hell, then I can at least say I've done my best. I've done what I feel is right. Day to day, moment to moment, I've done what I feel is right, and I deserve what I get.
Okay.
And I will burn in hell, and that's what I pay. At least I can say that I made the best decision I could moment to moment.
You don't want to go to hell?
I don't want to, but if I'm doing the best I feel I can, and your God sends me to hell, what does that say about your God?
That He's just.
Okay, then I deserve to go to hell. That's what it boils down to.
Casey, what's the gospel? Tell me, what's the gospel now? This is where the good news comes in. What is it?
You mean if I do all things right, I go to heaven?
No, you haven't. So you're in big trouble already. So that's.
But you're saying that's what the good news would be.
No.
If I did do everything right.
How many years did you go to church, Casey?
I went to church, went to summer Bible camp of years when I was younger.
Okay.
Didn't go to church on Sundays, no.
Okay, dude, the good news is, Jesus Christ, you've heard his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. He came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve the wrath of the Father. Jesus took it on your behalf so that your sins can be forgiven. You've broken the law. Jesus paid your fine. And if you'll repent, apologize, put your trust in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you'll be forgiven of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. God will save you and he'll take you to heaven based on what his son did. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, I know you're thinking about stuff here. And you're going through campus and college and trying to figure these things out. All right? I can't club you over the head and make you a Christian. But at least now, if nothing else, there's some clarity about what the Christian gospel is. We're lawbreakers. Jesus died for us and demonstrated his love. You've heard the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian gospel is that of good news. It does demand that you confess that all other gods are idols. They aren't true. They don't exist. There's only one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And if you'll repent and put your trust in him, you'll go to heaven. That's the Christian gospel. So as you ponder things and try to figure it out as you're on campus here,
mm-hmm.
now at least you're dealing with what the Bible teaches, and now you know what the options are. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. You're a gentleman. Good Thanks day. Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right, man. See ya. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins, and it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, it's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And there's a young man who's sitting in the shade who's actually looking at a DVD cover. And I wonder, hey, young man, can I sit next to you and chat with you for a moment on the radio while you're sitting and enjoying the shade?
Yeah, sure.
Is that all right? All right, what year are you here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a grad student. I'm actually in
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
get out of here.
I'm trying.
What do you mean? Oh, so you're a grad, but have you graduated?
No.
Oh, so you got one more year to go.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do when you grow up?
Hopefully work for a research and development company.
To develop what?
Polymers, coatings.
So plastic stuff,
yep.
That...
Uh-huh.
All right, I want to go back to good, bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
All right, here's my question for you. Ready? Which one are you? The good, the bad, or the ugly?
I think I still need some time to determine that.
Really?
Hopefully the good, but I don't know. Could be the bad.
Let's do the test. Okay. How many lies have you told in your life? Good person.
Quite a bit.
Okay, so if you've told quite a bit of lies, if I told quite a bit of lies, what name would you give to me?
A liar.
All right. How many things have you stolen in your life?
Some, I guess.
All right. What does that make you?
A stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you'd be
a stealer.
Thief.
A thief.
Yeah,
okay.
Right? Okay. Let's try this one. Lusting.
Uh-huh.
Looking at a woman, sexual thoughts, sexual desire.
Yeah.
How many times today?
Probably a few.
All righty. So you're a luster at heart. You're an adulterer at heart. Can we say that?
Yeah.
All right. How's about as a child? Were you a good child? Were you a perfect child? Or were you naughty like the rest of us?
I had my times that I was naughty, I guess. Overall, hopefully good. But.
Have you ever been around a child?
Yes.
They're naughty.
Yeah.
So
true.
Are you.
Okay.
All right, so there's four commandments right there.
Okay.
All right, by your own admission, you're a liar, you're a thief, an adulterer at heart who is a naughty kid.
Yeah.
Okay, are you good, bad, or ugly?
I guess bad, but I mean, it depends on who you're comparing to, so.
Well, we just did, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, but only one person was ever able to, you know, satisfy perfection, so.
And that person was?
Jesus Christ, so. I mean, if you're comparing just to one person, then, yeah, everybody's bad. But I think, you know, overall, there's a different test that, you know, humans can...
What would the test be?
I mean, I guess that would be the ultimate test of being perfection. But in real life, we're not made to be perfect, so...
Okay, let's say, right now, God drops that crane on your head, kills you, you die. Boom!
Correct.
You're transported right before the throne room of God.
Uh-huh.
He's on the bench. He is the just judge of all the world.
Yeah.
And he opens up the books on you. All right?
Okay.
So he knows everything you've thought, everything you've done. The books are open on you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be innocent or guilty before God?
We'd be guilty, but hopefully he would, you know, I've done enough that his grace would provide for a little, you know, to make up for the things that I haven't done.
Let me share this thought with you.
Okay.
If a criminal said that to a judge, let's go back to an earthly courtroom.
Yeah.
Pretty good parallel here.
Uh-huh.
And the criminal said, okay, judge, I know that I've filled in the blank with the crime.
Right.
I've murdered, I've stolen, whatever. I beat up the dog or whatever it is. Okay. But I gave $20 to the Red Cross and I helped a little old lady across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The judge would probably scratch his head and say, that has nothing to do with this court case.
Correct.
Your good deeds, or what you think are good deeds, have no bearing on the case. And furthermore, you're trying to persuade me and almost bribe me with your good deeds.
Correct. Yeah.
So let's go back to the heavenly courtroom.
Well, hopefully, you know, yes, we're not going to be able to do every good deed in this world, but the ones that we don't do and that we should get punished for, I think that's what Jesus Christ came here and was able to die on the sin for our sins, so that he kind of paid some of that, penalties for us. But still, at the same time, we do have to do as much as we can. You know, what that standard is, I don't think we know. I mean, that's why you got to try to do as much as you can, but...
Let me run this by you.
Okay.
See what you think of this.
All
right. And this is going to be very, very harsh up front.
Yeah.
So just be patient with me, because I would suggest to you that the resolution is better than the one maybe you're wrestling with right now.
Okay.
All right. There is nothing inside of you that is presently good before God. Just hang in there with me.
Okay.
All right. It's called total depravity.
Uh-huh.
Now, it doesn't mean that you don't ever do a nice thing or a good thing
uh-huh.
or a helpful thing for society.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Your members, your motives, your thoughts, your desires, everything about you is tainted with sin.
Okay.
Okay. So imagine it. Maybe this is kind of a rough parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Adolf Hitler, we all agree, evil, wicked, rotten guy.
Yeah.
Right? Adolf Hitler brings a dozen roses to a woman and says, "Here, look what," to a Jewish woman.
Okay.
He murdered everybody in his family, in her family, and says, "Here is a dozen roses."
Yeah.
What an offering that would be, huh? The roses are beautiful. They're very nice. They smell beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're coming from Adolf Hitler.
Correct.
You do nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You do good things. But they're coming from a guy who's corrupt. I'm not calling you Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you offer something to God and say, "Look at the good deeds I've done."
Mm-hmm.
To him, they're not good at all because they're coming from this guy who's at heart wicked and corrupt.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
It is, but I believe at the same time that, you know, as a human being that believes in God and Christ, that, you know, there's the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, and the Spirit can live within us. Now, obviously, this earthly body we have, I think, is corrupt because it's made of this world, but there's a Spirit that does live inside of us that has, you know, good inside it that can overcome the evil tendencies that our body has.
Right.
But, you know,
I agree with that.
Okay.
But the question is, how does that Spirit get into you? Here's what I think where a lot of people stumble on the whole Christian religion idea.
Okay.
They get out of the starting blocks wrong.
Yeah.
When I asked you if you're a good person, a bad person, or an ugly person, you were trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Here's what the Bible says. We are all by nature sinful and corrupt and unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Everybody falls short of God's standard.
Correct.
So God looks down at us from his vantage point, comparing us to himself, which is perfection, which is revealed in the Ten Commandments. And he looks at us and we are wicked, awful people.
Yeah.
And there is nothing we can do that is pleasing to him in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And until an individual arrives at that place where they agree with that, not only am I not good, I am wicked, awful, bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're starting in the wrong place.
Okay.
Because once you get to that point, then all of a sudden that idea of Jesus Christ, the God-man, like you rightly said, the Trinity, you got that exactly right, dying for somebody like me is suddenly almost makes you want to gasp for air because the fact that God would do that for a sinner like me is beyond my comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come to him lowly and broken, confessing and turning from our sins and putting our trust in Jesus without confessing any goodness of our own, but calling out to God for mercy, he then takes the goodness of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the theological thought for you. Jesus practiced active and passive obedience. Passive obedience was when he was beaten on the cross and hung up to die.
Okay.
Right? But his active obedience was living a perfect life for 3 decades, keeping every law that you and I, he never lusted.
Yeah.
He never lied. He never dishonored his parents.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That goodness, because of his active obedience, gets credited to your account too.
Okay.
So not only will you be seen as not guilty when you repent and trust the Savior,
mm-hmm.
but you'll be credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
You will be seen as holy and righteous before God. So that any goodness that we have is because of what Jesus did and nothing that we do.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 2 more theological terms for you.
Okay.
You're a smart guy. You can handle this.
All right.
Justification, sanctification.
Yeah.
Justification is a one-time declarative act outside of your body.
Uh-huh.
You repent and trust Jesus. You turn from your wicked ways, throw yourself at his mercy, and trust him for your eternity.
Uh-huh.
And he will justify you one time, declared in heaven.
Yeah.
Nothing you have done, nothing. Your faith, your repentance is merely a 911 call. He does the rescuing and the saving.
Uh-huh.
Once you are made his child, once you are justified, then he begins a work inside of you. He comes and dwells in you, and then he begins to clean you up on the inside.
Yeah.
But even the cleaning up process, you don't get credit for because he's doing it inside of you.
Okay.
That way, he gets all the credit,
uh-huh.
and he gets all the praise, and he gets all the glory. Because if it's something that you kind of do and he makes up the rest, it's kind of a Mormon idea or a Catholic idea. You don't do your best and Jesus does the rest. You've done nothing but bad and Jesus has done it all.
Yeah.
All right, now here's my question for
you. Okay.
That question I asked about being good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
It's a really important question.
Okay.
And it's kind of a loaded one, and maybe you weren't thinking in these terms.
Yeah.
But it's my experience, and I think the Bible backs this up. If a man thinks that he's good, he has not yet been saved.
Correct. Yeah.
Because you got to come to bed recognizing you're bad and ugly.
Uh-huh.
So my question for you, young man, have you come to God confessing you're bad and ugly? There's nothing good in and of yourself, and you've turned from your sins, and you've put your trust in Jesus. Have you done that?
I have.
When did you do that?
I did it, I guess you could say, about teenage years. I was 15,
yeah.
And I went to a camp, and basically, you know, I grew up in church, so, you know, I thought I was a Christian, but then I think that's the time I decided, you know, it's more than just something you read in words, and so.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, dude, maybe just examine your heart, see what's going on. It's good to do a little checkup once in a while.
Okay.
And until tomorrow, go serve your king.